Hello, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. We invite you to our website at eBibleFellowship.org for additional Bible studies. And now, with his study in the book of Romans, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the book of Romans. Tonight is study number 24 of Romans chapter 1. We're going to begin reading in verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. And I'll stop reading there. Okay, we were looking last time at the first part of verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit, or in my spirit, in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. And the Greek word translated without ceasing, Strong's number 89, is used a few times in the New Testament, especially in 1 Thessalonians. If we turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says in verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Now, there's our word without ceasing, but if we back up to verse 2, 1 Thessalonians 1, it says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Just as the verse in Romans we're reading says, remembering without ceasing. So prayer, in our prayer, we're making mention of you. And as we do so, we are remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. This is one of the verses in the Bible that tells us that faith is a work. And so the Thessalonians were performing a work of faith. And a work, to really find the definition, we see as we read the Bible that God commands laws, and the response to the command is a good work or an attempted good work. It's certainly a work of whatever kind. God commands, whatever response man makes to try and obey that command is a work. God commands, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, the response of belief is a work. And now when God has saved his people and he's given them his indwelling spirit, and they're saved by the faith of Christ and through his grace and mercy and so forth, as we know, then they will be moved within to do good works, to will and to do of God's good pleasure. And God tells us this in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. And let me turn over there so we can read what comes after that. That was Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the faith of Christ that we're saved. As it says, it's not faith of ourselves, but it must be the faith of Christ. And that's because God's salvation program cannot be performed by the faith of man, else that would be a work. So God says that, not of works, lest any man should boast or glory. But then notice verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That is what the Apostle Paul is thanking God for in prayer, remembering without ceasing your work of faith after God has saved you by the faith of Christ and by his mercy and grace and all that salvation has to do with, as that is completely of the Lord. Then you have the Spirit within, and the fruit of the Spirit will begin to show itself. There will be evidence of it. You can have fruit of love, joy, peace, faith. And therefore, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, the fruit of the Spirit. That's the point that God is making as he moves the Apostle Paul to write the epistle to the Thessalonians. Then in chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, in verse 13, we find the word again. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So again, thanking God is a form of prayer. And for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Why? Because when you receive the word of God, which he heard of us, you did not receive it as the word of men, but as truly the word of God. And remember, to receive, we talked about that. No man can receive anything except to be given to him from heaven above or God above, as it says in the Gospel of John. So even the receiving of spiritual gifts all is traced back to God the giver. And to receive is part of the gift of salvation. Nobody can say, well, I have to exercise my will to receive it. That's my part. No, that's a work. That's a work if it did originate with you, but it doesn't. It doesn't. Reception of the gift is part of the overall package of God's magnificent salvation program. And it all comes down from above to the sinner below. And that's how God has arranged for things to work out. And one more time in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we find this word translated without ceasing. And I'll start reading in verse 16. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pray without ceasing. That's what the Apostle Paul is expressing, that without ceasing, back in Romans 1:9, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. He's praying without ceasing. Now, there's a related Greek word to the word that we were just looking at. And it's Strong's number 88. It's closely related. So it's also translated without ceasing in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I'll read verses 2 and 3. And this is another opening address of an epistle. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. You see, he's continually praying for Timothy as well as for the Thessalonians, as well as for the Romans. That is, when he goes to pray, the Apostle Paul, it's brought to remembrance. I have remembrance of thee. So he remembers sharing the word of God in this place and another place and with certain individuals like Timothy. And he prays for them at that time. Oh Lord, may the word of God continue to work within them and may it continue to bless them and so forth. This is the idea of praying without ceasing. We find it translated, this particular Greek word, number 88, the related word to our word in Romans 1:9, we find it translated as continual back in the book of Romans in chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. I'll read those verses. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. I'll have to read the next verse so we see what the sorrow is about. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. So is great heaviness and with continual sorrow or sorrow without ceasing in his heart because he knows they're going the wrong way. They have not bent the knee and submitted themselves to the word of God as God has made change in program from Israel to establishing the New Testament churches and congregations, as God has further made it known that the Gentiles are fellow heirs with the Jews. They have refused these things and resisted them. And so when Paul goes to pray and he remembers the Romans and he remembers the Thessalonians and he remembers faithful men like Timothy, and that brings him joy. But then he remembers his own people, the nation of Israel, and he can see, for the most part, some have followed the truth and come out, but for the most part, they remain the same. They remain in rebellion against God. And so there's this continual sorrow. It doesn't leave. It doesn't leave him. He could even wish that he himself were accursed if his brethren would have their eyes open, and yet it's not the case. Okay, let's go back to Romans 1, and it says at the end of verse 9 that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. And we saw in those verses we read without ceasing that it accompanied thanksgiving and prayer in these scriptures. Also, the word translated make mention. If we go over to Ephesians chapter 1, in Ephesians 1, and I'll begin reading in verse 15, it says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You see, again, the Apostle Paul, as Ephesians is another epistle God moved him to write, is expressing that there's continuing prayer. In this case, he ceases not to give thanks for you, and this would be the Ephesians, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, the word cease here is a different Greek word, but it's expressing the similar idea as the other word we were looking at of continual nature. And this making mention, that's akin to remembrance. You know, we're limited creatures. We have limited time, and we have to, at some point, get on with our day. there's literally enough to pray about. If we were to pray for all the things that are available for us to pray for all the people that we could pray for in a very serious and thorough way, well, we probably wouldn't get going on the day and do other things we need to do. And so we're aware, as we do pray, that God knows all, that He knows everything about everything. And the Lord Jesus told us that very thing when He was teaching the disciples how to pray. Remember, over in the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." So we're aware of that as one of God's elect children. And we actually want to be careful. We don't want to try to go to God with flowery speech and much speaking, especially if it's any kind of public prayer. But we know God knows all about everything we're going to bring up. And as a result, we can just pray, "Oh Lord, for this person we care a lot about, and this person we love, and this person we're concerned for, and their situation." We can just pray, "Oh Lord, having had mercy, have mercy on so and so, or help so and so, as they've lost their job or they're in trouble in some way. May you bless them. May you help them." And even though there is a great deal more, it's bringing them in remembrance. It's making mention of them to God. And our desire is for their very best. We always desire the best for everyone. And as God lays it on our hearts and we're thinking of our prayers to God and what we're praying about, and then we think of this situation or that person, then we make mention. We make mention to the Lord. Okay, let's turn back to Romans 1. And again, the end of verse 9, "that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." And then going on to verse 10, it's a bit of insight into what the Apostle Paul was praying and into the Spirit of God, who certainly led him to pray in this way because it was inspired. And that's helpful to us, where we can get this kind of a look into a very private conversation between an elect child of God who's a pattern of the believers and God Himself. And so I make mention of you always in my prayers, verse 10, "making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." And again, this is addressed to the Romans. So Paul is making request, if by any means, and, you know, that's a translation of one word. It's Strong's 1513. It's only found four times in the New Testament. It's used, for example, in Romans 11, 13, and 14. "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them. So that's a second time of the four. The first, of course, is in our verse in Romans. A third time is in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, verse 11. And there it says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now that's an extremely important thing. And to the Apostle Paul, who had that heaviness and continual sorrow regarding his countrymen, it was also an extremely important thing that he provoked them to emulate the Gentile believers who were believing the Word of God and trusting the Word of God. So we can see in these areas it was of great importance. And the fourth time is in Acts 27. Acts 27, verse 12, where we read, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. So again, it's important that we depart and attain to Phoenix. It's a bad weather season, and so this is necessary for us to do. As we look at this phrase, we can see that it really points to that which is of great significance or great importance. It's not a light matter. In other words, it's something that is major, something extremely important. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Now this is kind of unusual, because God is giving us a glimpse into Paul's prayer life and what he was beseeching the Lord for. And it has to do with a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. And he's speaking to the Romans. So he's talking about coming to Rome. And yet, we just read in Acts 27 a verse that also had this phrase, if by any means. And in Acts 27, that ship is the ship that Paul is on that is traveling to Rome. And did they have a prosperous journey? Well, they met a storm at sea, Euroclydon. It was a vicious, violent storm that ultimately broke apart the ship. The ship became shipwreck, and all the crew and prisoners, 276 in all, had to abandon the ship. And yet, by God's grace, they all made it safe to land. And the land they made it to was the island of Melita or Malta. And we've talked about this before. That shipwreck is a picture of God's judgment on the churches and congregations, and the coming out of the ship and making it to land where there were barbarians, the natives of Malta, that points to God's people leaving the churches and congregations and going outside to the world. So how do we answer this question? Was his prayer answered by God? Making request, if by any means, now at length. And by the way, at length is a word, Greek word, as the New Testament is written in Greek, that is translated numerous ways. It's translated in time past sometimes, or at any time. It's translated several other ways. And also, it's translated one time in Philippians 4:10 this way. It's translated at the last. At the last. And that is the translation that fits best for what we're reading here in Romans 1:10. And you know, the Bible allows this. These are all synonyms in English that we can use. interchangeably, and that's how God has hidden truth. So let me insert that. Making request, if by any means, now at the last, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. And we know that he's referring to his journey by ship, wherein Acts 27 goes into detail describing the shipwreck. And we know that that relates to the time of the end, or at the last of the church age, when God commences and brings judgment. It starts at the house of God. The time of the end, the final judgment of God begins on the churches, and so that fits, doesn't it? Now at the last, his prayer is that he might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Well, again, it depends on perspective. It depends on how you look at it concerning whether or not it was prosperous. His journey from one angle was a disaster, literally a disaster, as the ship was made shipwreck. And there was a long delay in his getting finally to Rome. And so was God blessing that journey? Was he prospering Paul's journey? Well, we don't see it all that clearly historically. However, when we look at the deeper spiritual meaning and we understand what happened along with the end of the church age, which the ship and its shipwreck typifies, then we begin to see the prosperous journey that Paul, the pattern of the believers, truly experienced at the last. Well, Lord willing, we'll have to pick this up when we get together in our next Bible study.
You've been listening to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. Visit our website at ebiblefellowship.org for additional studies. Until next time, may the Lord's perfect will be done.